Dish from Waitrose is an SE Creative Studio production.
Clarence Court is home to Britain's widest collection of free-range eggs since 1928. Our traditional heritage birds produce a distinctively rich and iconic yolk that takes home cooking from the ordinary to the extraordinary. Loved by chefs and favoured by foodies, each shell is stamped with its own royal crown. It's time for you to discover the wonderful world of fabulous eggs by fabulous birds. Clarence Court.
Our podcast might contain the occasional mild swear word or adult theme. Hello, I'm Nick Grimshaw.
And I'm Angela Hartnett.
And together we are...
Angela and Nick.
Yeah! Welcome to Dish from Waitrose, the podcast that celebrates the best things in life, really. Eating, drinking and great conversation.
Every week we welcome a famous face...
for a Michelin star meal.
That's right. Now let's get started, mister.
What are we having today?
So we've got lamb leg steaks, which I'm going to do with a lovely chickpea and tomato... I suppose ragu, really.
Oh, yum.
Yeah, lovely.
Cook it all together?
Well, tomatoes are already in the oven, slowly cooking down, bit of lemon on there, garlic, olive oil. And when they come out, we'll toss the chickpeas in with them so they'll be slightly warmed, finish it with loads of basil, steak I've got resting, and then we're good to go. You can put a little bit of lemon zest on the chickpeas, it'd be nice to have that. But what we've put in the tomatoes is actually the rind. Like, you know, when we did it with Paul Feig and we had to do that lemon rind.
Oh, like we'd have a cocktail. Yeah,
exactly. So I've put that in there with, with our tomatoes. But it's nice to have a little bit of extra zest on there. And we're going to use some of your parsley that you didn't use in there as well, and basil.
This is a really nice summery recipe, this, isn't it?
Exactly.
What lamb cut have we gone for?
I love you. Love your lamb cuts. A lamb leg steak. So it's a working bit of meat, if you like. It needs to be cooked medium rather than rare. The thing is, you know, everyone you said came in going, I want my meat rare. But you wouldn't have a lamb leg rare because it's a tougher cut of meat because it's working.
Oh, right.
So you need to cook it longer and slow. And like a fillet where it is in the body of, you know, like a beef in a cow, it does nothing, you know, so it's protected. So that's why it's so tender, you see.
Oh, so that's why you want it pink. So
yeah,
because
there's nothing
softness
to do with it. Exactly.
Whereas a muscle...
A muscle that's working. You see, would we want these muscles? No.
No way.
Yeah, you know, they've been working hard.
Look at those. Wow. Angela. Did you see my pizza?
Oh, I did see
my
your pizza.
My garlic bread.
It looked amazing.
Your comment as well.
Oh, yeah. A few people had a go at me about that.
I posted on my Instagram. We tried to make the garlic bread for Ed Gamble.
Yeah.
The dough didn't get her in time.
Yeah.
So we got to take the dough home.
Yeah.
So I rolled it out and I had to contact you how many times? I was like, Angela, it keeps springing back.
Angela! I think I was at an awards ceremony and I went to the loo and I saw all these messages. I thought, oh my God. I said, just keep rolling it. It'll be fine.
Yeah, so we rolled it out. That happened. Got it in the oven, hot as possible.
Lovely.
I didn't do the cheese and Marmite as we discussed with Ed.
Yeah.
But what I did do was made garlic butter.
Lovely.
Put that on. That's just gorgeous. Garlic and butter. Easy. Put that on, a bit of cheese, got it out, put on some nice chili sauce, some fresh parsley, bang it.
It looked really good, I have to say. It looked
I never
good.
Felt prouder.
Oh.
So I had to put it on my main grid Instagram post.
Yes.
I felt like it was my baby, but then I ate it, so it didn't feel like my baby at all. Hey, speaking of babies, our guest today is in a show called The Baby, which is one of the most talked about shows of the year.
Yeah.
We watched it on Gogglebox, and then I had to watch it properly. It's nuts. So she is the star of that, but she's done so much in her life. She's been a journalist, model, stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
I think this is only her second acting gig.
Pretty impressive.
Very
can't wait.
Impressive. Should we get her in?
Let's go.
Please welcome today's guest, the wonderful, the super talented Michelle Dussault, everybody.
Hello.
Michelle.
Hi.
Welcome to Dish.
Thank you.
This is our kitchen.
This is our kitchen, indeed.
It's fancy, I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
This is Angela Hartnett.
Hiya. Loving your hair.
It's giving Patsy.
Is it?
Yeah, proper. Yeah. Are you hungry?
No, I'm actually fine.
Oh, right. Well, thanks for coming. Michelle, thank you for joining us.
You're so welcome.
Angela is going to be serving up some food in a moment.
In a moment, yeah.
But first, we've got to talk about The Baby, because I feel like every now and then a TV show comes along that everyone's talking about, and The Baby is that show. Tell us about how you got offered this role and how it was pitched for you, because I've watched it and it's nuts.
I know.
That is mad.
Can I just say, all right, so seeing you guys on Gogglebox watching the show was like, nothing has confirmed to my family that I'm doing all right more than that. They're just like, you're on Gogglebox, you made it. I said, yeah, I'm on it because I did this show. And the show's on Gogglebox. They're like, yeah, whatever. So it's a dark comedy horror and it's centered around motherhood. And how I got the show was I was doing stand-up gigs, not stood up in lockdown over Zoom, which is as awful as it sounds.
Ooh, how was
right?
That?
Yeah. Imagine being in your kitchen on your J's trying to tell jokes into your laptop while other people are watching you on a gallery, and in between they just think, I'm just gonna go toilet now. Yeah. But their mic's on, or they think, I'm just gonna make a smoothie. So you're like, you know, bearing your soul, and someone's like, it was so we were doing that, and I started doing loads of them. And one of the corporate Zoom gigs I was doing was for the casting director, Aisha Baywaters. Her husband, her partner, was watching. So she happened to be watching me trying to be hilarious from my kitchen and was like, oh, that's Natasha. I sent the script to my agent and then I got it and I was like, I'm having that.
Yeah, I'm having that. I'll do that.
Yeah.
But like when it was written down, when we watched on Gogglebox, they said to us, they don't give you any info because they want your reactions to be real. So like, it's a comedy.
Yeah.
When it started, I was like, it's not very funny so far.
Quite a dark
The start,
comedy.
It's like, it's so dark. And then when I watched it, I was like, oh, it is a comedy. And then when I watched it, my boyfriend, because we watched it after we'd watched it on Gogglebox, I was like, it's a comedy. It's like, this is a comedy. I'm like, it gets funny after the cliffs.
I think yeah.
It gets funny.
Yeah.
But as an opener.
Not so funny.
No.
Right.
No.
But I think a lot of the comedy in it is played because it's so tense.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And there's such a build-up that you want that palate cleanser of laughter. Yeah. So it kind of gets so surreal. And Natasha is so deadpan with her delivery that you're like, I can't believe she just said that. Us Brits get it a bit more, I think.
We're like that in life, though. Don't you think in the worst situation,
exactly,
you get the giggles, you know, something happens, you just think, it's so inappropriate, but that's what you do, don't you?
Right. Well, as Brits, we don't know how to process emotion. So, you know, our go-to is like, shall we laugh through this and bond through laughter?
How much of it hit home in terms of everyone having babies around you? Because I'm like 37, and now this is the age where everyone's like having babies or having their second baby. And there's a lot of baby chat amongst my friends. Mm. Do you guys have it as well, where there's a lot of baby chat and Natasha, the character Michelle plays, is like not really into the baby chat?
I can relate to certain aspects of that. What I think the baby does well is it sort of shows everyone's point of view, or everyone's perspective on the spectrum of like motherhood and late 30s and, you know, even beyond that. But I think, you know, you just got to adapt. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Or ghost your friend for like the first year.
Yeah.
Wait for a spring. Oh, is it their first birthday? I'd love to come heavy handed with the presents to make up for the fact that you haven't really checked in on them for the last year.
Yeah.
And hopefully you can like try to salvage some remnants of friendship.
Yeah.
Or be involved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You decide.
Yeah, you decide. I like what you were saying, Angela, the other week. When you go to your friends, their kids want to see you.
Yeah.
And she's like, nah, Angela's here to see me.
Yeah. I think you've got to have your boundaries. Because I'm a bit like, I had all my friends, girlfriends, they all had kids young. And I don't have kids at all. And it's like, I don't want to see your kids. I love your kids. But I come in day off, want to see you. And you just got to say.
Yeah.
And then politely leave when the kids are up.
I want to see Angela.
I'm like, nah, sorry. No. I like kids now when they're like young adults. I'd take them out for dinner.
I don't mind some of my friends' kids. And it's quite nice to hang out with them. What I have said is like, I'm not being godparent to any more kids.
Yeah.
Don't ask. The answer's no.
No, and I think, full.
Yeah. And I think that when you haven't got kids, your friends in pity go, I'm going to gift you with this title of being a godparent. And you're like, no.
Are you a good godparent?
I mean, what is a good godparent?
What does that even mean?
Just throwing money at the situation,
See, I'm a really bad one. I don't even throw money. I mean, I'm really rubbish as a godparent.
What do you do?
Not a lot, really.
Nothing.
Not a thing,
I'm terrible. Really,
took the title and ran.
Pretty much. See, you're really good compared to me. You know?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like anyone's really good compared to you, to be honest.
How was it, Michelle, working with a baby?
It was a joy.
Was it?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm joking. Say, well,
said no one ever.
No, no, no. Do you know what it was? I loved the babies. Oh. And so, I mean, I couldn't not because I worked with them so much.
So it was two babies playing one baby?
Twins.
Twins.
Twins. Really?
You could have just had any baby, really. They all look the same.
No, you know what? I got to know them really well. And the mum and dad. So, like, we bonded.
Oh.
Yeah, we did. It was just their second birthday last weekend, actually, oh. which I went down to. It was
did
very
you?
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was kind of, I can't lie, man. I didn't think I was going to feel like that. I thought when filming finished, I thought I was just going to be like, see you later.
See you, baby.
Yeah. Hope life goes well. Bye-bye, ta-ta. And then actually I found myself like on Instagram, like looking at their pictures a bit like longingly, like, oh, look, they've got hair now. Oh, look at their matching outfits. And then I did a gig and mum and dad came in Brighton and they were like, I said, oh, here's some Easter eggs for the boys. And they were like, you know, their second birthday is coming up. I said, yes.
Yes, I'll be there.
Yes, I'll be there.
We're going to have some wine. We're going to go for this chilled red, a flurry
yeah.
from Waitrose, which they've paired with the meal that Angela's cooked. How do you feel about a chilled red?
I mean, yeah, go on then.
Yeah. So give it a go. Please be honest. I quite like it. I remember my friend brought it around to mine a few years ago once and I was like, she's lost it. I was like, she's mad.
Do you know what? This is the kind of thing that I'd make a massive faux pas where like someone would go, oh, and I'd be like, they're a bit common, ain't they? Oh, putting red in the fridge. All right, babes. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember my first dinner party. Yeah. I took my mum to a restaurant where they served it chilled. And like my mum's like from Manchester. She came down to a restaurant, a bit of a trendy East End one. And she still talks about it. It was like 6 years ago. And every time we go past, she's like, that's the road where the restaurant is, where they sold the red wine cold. I'm like, it's a thing. She tells everyone. Constantly.
There you go, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
Oh yeah.
This looks amazing.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, I remember getting my mum to eat calamari by telling her it was an onion ring.
How'd that go down?
Yeah, she weren't gassed.
Nah, not into it. Well, cheers, guys. Thank you,
cheers.
Angela.
Thank you. Thanks for coming, Michelle. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
What a success.
Congrats on the
brilliant.
Baby.
Yeah,
it sounds like you had a baby.
So we got roasted lamb leg steaks with chickpea tomato salad and some basil and mint.
This looks good, Angela.
A little bit of spice in there, I think. A little bit of spice.
A little bit of spice. Oh, that is good.
I like that face. That's a very good, you know, she's loving that. Good.
Mm.
I want more faces like that from you, Nick. Just to say, a bit more appreciation wouldn't go amiss.
I like a roast chickpea.
I'm not going to lie, when I first came in, I thought, that's a lot of corn. But
So do you cook at home, Michelle?
You know what? Last night, because I knew I was going to be here today, I looked at what I was eating and I thought, you're taking absolute liberties, Michelle. Because I was listening to the podcast, the episode with Ed.
Oh, yeah.
Who I love.
Love Brilliant. Ed Gamble.
So good. Yeah.
And he's a big food fan. A proper foodie.
Yeah.
He is.
And cooks a lot. Mr. Barbecue. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's not about him. What are you eating?
I was eating pasta with pesto. And my favourite thing that I like to add to the pasta and the pesto that makes me think I'm such a chef is tomatoes.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's all right. I've done that one.
That is my number one meal. I have been eating it for years. If you cut me open, that is, it would be like a maple tree. Just, it's just that. No sap, just pesto. It is shocking. Like, I have no desire to cook. It doesn't bring me joy, but I love eating. But I'm not good at it. And I don't love it, but I so appreciate you making this delicious meal.
Yeah.
But me on my own, I'm like, I could just have a sandwich and then I wouldn't be hungry.
Yeah. When you're on your own, I never would cook for myself.
No, because it's...
Never, ever would cook for myself. Even when it's me and my boyfriend, I'm like, but any guests, I will. So maybe I just like
really?
It because showing off.
Yeah. Oh, so you're a good cook then? Because no one in my family would want me to cook for them.
Right.
They're like, you've got money... Order us.
I love
Order us food.
What do I fancy, I'll invite Michelle round and then I'll have a curry. Or
Exactly. Like order us food. So this is amazing. And I know that this is like sponsored by Waitrose, isn't it? Yeah. And that is like, yes, thank you, Waitrose.
Yeah.
Without you, I'd be nothing. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what I like to do, like walk around a nice supermarket and just be like, get it out the oven, peel off the plastic and go, you're welcome, buddy. Do you know what I mean? Just like, add a little something on top. Just be like, look at me. Yeah, a little dollop of pesto. Get the nice pepper grinder out. And I'm like,
oh, chef.
You made it.
Look at me, chef. Look at those acting skills.
Where do we get Michelle every week to do the best like microwave meal?
I would love
this week I'm serving and you peel the plastic off three minutes.
Yeah. Just like do a Nigella, like slowly pierce the plastic. Today I've got a three prongs fork. But I thought I'd pierce it six times just to shake it up. Yeah, exactly. Sit on the side while the microwave hums. Bing! It's ready. Don't want to burn my fingers.
It's so good.
Yeah.
What was it like when you were growing up? Because Brixton's such a cultural hub. Did you remember like going out for like good food and great dinners?
Yeah. I mean, my family lived there. So most of the food that I was eating from my gran and stuff like that, and my sister, is Jamaican food.
Right, yeah.
And it's the same food that you would buy in Brixton at that time. Like all the food shops were Jamaican food shops and bloody amazing, so good. And like now if I go to Brixton, I go to like Fish Wings and Things, which is in like Brixton Village. You can get like, you know, some nice food, like a curry goat, rice and peas, mac and cheese, a coleslaw, just something light, you know?
Just a light snack.
Just a light nibble. But yeah, and now, you know, now Brixton obviously has changed, but now it's a lot of what I just call like the beans in ramekins. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you start like eating fry-ups and like the beans move to ramekins, you're like...
It's changed.
It's happening. It's happening. Is this free tomato still on a vine? It's happening. Yeah.
But when you were a kid as well around Brixton, I heard that you were like mad into your clothes, like your sense of style was very strong.
Yeah.
What were you wearing when you were little?
In my teenage years, it was definitely like... a time where dancehall music was having a big moment. This is in the 90s. So I was into like getting ready for carnival, like now how my middle class friends treat Glastonbury and stuff like that. Like really getting excited. You're all like, you know when your mates are like, I'm going Burning Man.
Yeah.
I'm off to the haberdashery shop. See you in a week. And you're like, all right, cool. That's how we would like gear up to go to carnival. We'd start talking about it after Christmas.
Yeah.
And like at that time, the dancehall scene was so massive and we were so creative. Now it's nice to see that a lot of the hairstyles and stuff are coming back into fashion. But I mean, hair alone, just like sequins stuck to my hair, a lot of just a lot of brown lip liner, a lot of like what we used to call click suits at the time, you know, just like string vests with boob tubes underneath and a lot of hair gel. Like this was the first wave of sticking baby hairs down to your face.
Yeah.
First gen baby.
First
gen baby hair stick off. It was like, you'd just like, you would do it at night, set it and just like go to bed sleeping like a geisha girl with like five bandanas held around your head until like the vein in the middle of your forehead pops out. and that's when you'd wake up. Do you know what I mean? Just with a pumping headache and you're like, my hair is ready now.
I have a migraine.
Carnival,
look how good. What about when you were a teenager, Angela? What was your look?
I remember never being into makeup. Well, I'm not into makeup now, but like everyone when they were 14, 15, suddenly just so much makeup. And to me, it just felt like bother. I was like, I can't be dealing with that. But it's just, so I never really got into makeup ever in my life. I've never done it. It's never been my thing.
But do you have pictures of you dressed in like new romantic looks?
New romantic looks. I've got the worst picture ever when I try to do makeup, so I'm really crap at it, where I've got like greeny blue eyeshadow.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's just one of those photos that has to die, you know? Right. It's just embarrassing, you know?
I think the listeners would like to see that.
Do you think so?
I think so.
So was you really into hair then?
Well, I remember thinking it. I never used to dry my hair, but it would dry naturally and it would do a flick. So we'd always go to this place in Seven Kings, which was the Shannon Club, because we all grew up in Essex. And our first point is you get the train there, but all the blokes would drive home and you never wanted to get the night bus. So my first mission every time I got in was to do all this and basically secure a lift home.
Whoa!
So without any ties or no attachments, so I'd go in and Nick and I'd go like flirt up with it. Okay, Nick, I've got us our lift home. Ignore the bloke all night until it was lift time about 1:30. Go, hi, we're ready for our lift home. By the way, I've got two friends with me. That was always our Friday night.
Wow!
I love that, securing the ride home.
Yeah. And then good night.
Good night. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we've good got night. To go in.
Just from the power of your 80s hair.
Just from I love that. My hair like that. That was it. So yeah, nice. No makeup. I like the hair, you say. Mm. But I'd like to see the look you had when you were young.
I'll be honest with you. It weren't looking like this then. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It was a lot of like body shop bronzing balls. Just like I'd get my face and just Scarface style. Just chuck it in there. Move the bronzing balls around it. Douse myself in like white musk.
Yeah.
You know, use Impulse as deodorant and be like, I'm good to
I'm
go.
Good, yeah.
Oh my God, I forgot about
I'm
Impulse.
I'm ready.
The whole body.
Was it? Yeah.
Over the clothes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also, I'll do it after smoking loads of fags. Like, oh, you know what's going to mask this smell?
Yeah.
A more disgusting smell.
So how did you go from there to modelling?
Yeah.
So come on, you've jumped around.
Yeah, so I got scouted. I was like a bartender in Clapham and they were like, oh, would you like to model? You know, like you're pulling pints of bitter. You're like, what, and leave all of this?
No,
I'm going to stay. Yeah. No thanks, mate.
So
did you say New York? How dare you? How dare you? I am going to stay here and listen to these dad jokes with the locals. Thanks.
When the first approach happened, did you believe them? Like when someone was like, hi, I can take you to New York to be a model. Were you like skeptical?
That sounds dodgy.
Yeah, it does sound dodgy, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think at that point, in my late teens, sort of like, you know, the 90s in South London, it sounded all right, mate. As dodgy things go, I was like,
I'll do it.
Yeah. We'll work it out when we're there, innit? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And how was it arriving in New York? Like, have you ever been there before? Like,
I'd never been before, and when I was there...
So
I was,
how old were you, excuse me?
I just turned 20.
That's quite young to go there without anyone, sort of
Yeah,
thing.
But you know what? At that time, that was a really late age to start modelling, actually. Because I started modelling at 19. I went to South Africa for a few months, didn't make a penny. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, go to New York. And I was like, all right then. I didn't think I was going to be there for that long.
Yeah.
So I didn't think I was going to make any money. But I got there and I was quite underwhelmed, to be honest. But I was quite moody. Do you know what I mean?
Like, rubbish. Yeah. Big Apple.
Literally.
Whatever.
Literally. I remember them being like, do you want to come to this party? And I was like, South Park was really big at the time. And I was just like, no. I want to sit in my flat and watch South Park. Like, do you know what I mean? I go like, P. Diddy's got a white party. Do you want to come to the Hamptons? I was like, to do what? No.
A big screen with South Park, maybe.
Yeah. No, I'm going to stay here, sit in East Village, have a little mooch around and watch South Park. Sit on the roof, have a smoke. It's good times. Yeah. And I had like a BMX and I was just like, I'm just going to like ride down to the river and like listen to Fiona Apple and feel really moody.
Oh, I love that. On the BMX.
Yeah.
I love that image. Yeah. I love that. And was work good then? Did you like love doing it or were you not?
I wouldn't say I loved it, but I did really well really quickly.
Right.
So I like I made a lot of money. So I was a bit like, but you know, when I didn't grow up with money. So there wasn't any difference. To me, having money was being able to go into a sandwich shop and get a sandwich with meat in it. You know, like going to Greg's and going, I have a steak bake. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean? None of this cheese and onion stuff. Thank you.
Steak.
Yeah, I sort of just bought all my family loads of trainers and stuff like that and was just like, you get a pair of Tims, you get a pair of Tims, you get a pair of Tims. But yeah, I enjoyed it in terms of the freedom, but the job itself I didn't love. It was kind of ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Were you in like proper ridiculous situations on shoots and at fashion
Absolutely.
Shows where you're like, what
Absolutely. Yeah. Some person comes in and puts like a Kestrel on your head and they're like, work it. And you're just like, what am I doing?
I love that you went into that with that mindset though and like your personality.
But you must have thrown them in New York because they couldn't have coped with that, I imagine. For someone who was quite, not rebellious, rebellious, but just sort of pushed back a little bit.
Yeah, no, it was all right. It was all right. And I think it did me well because afterwards, I think if I didn't keep my sense of self and sense of humour about it, I probably wouldn't have ended up doing stand-up after.
That must be a world first. Like, how did you do that crossover?
In New York, did you do it?
Yeah.
And that would be hard, huh?
Well, you know what it was? Because New York, it sort of boosts up your confidence. And having a job like modelling, you get like loads of credit for naturally not doing much and it inflates your sense of self. So, you know, like if you're, when you're a model, if you say like...
president.
Literally, you get that American, go on, yes, you can. Do you know what I mean? If I was in England, I'd never try because your mates would be like, you what? And you'd go, nah, sorry, I wouldn't even bother.
Absolutely right. That is the thing about Americans. They're so get up, you know. They'll go for it.
And they hold beauty at such high regard that you start thinking, you're like, fancy. Do you know what I mean? They're like, even if you've got basic manners out there and as a model, they go, you're so polite. And you're not. You're just saying thank you and please. And they're
wow.
Yeah. And so that people would always go, oh my God, you're so funny. But what I didn't realise is that was funny in modelling, right? Yeah. But like, so I thought I was funnier than I was, basically. Okay, and then when I started doing stand-up, I was like, you got some work to do. That's what I mean.
You're like Seinfeld in modelling. Yeah.
Oh my God. In modelling, I was like Dave Chappelle. I was just like, I'd say like the most basic of jokes. And they were like, she has some personality. Woohoo! And I thought I was like Mr. Charisma. Yeah. And then I started stand-up and I was like, you mean my looks mean nothing? They hold no currency. Yeah, just like stand on stage and like bomb, and I'd be like, can someone like put on a wind machine, please?
Watch this.
Yeah. These jokes really aren't landing, but I feel like if the lighting was better. Yeah, so it was a lesson, but it was good, man. It was a nice palate cleanser. Yeah.
Did you meet any models that were dead funny?
Yeah, there are some models that are real funny, but when we were modelling, they didn't want you to have a personality. Right. Like, do you remember when you first heard Kate Moss talk?
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. We're from that era.
Yeah.
Now, every model you see has got to have Instagram followers
of course,
and they've got a personality attached to it. But I was there in the glory years.
Yeah, the enigmas.
Yeah, in the glory years when you just had to like...
to speak.
Yeah, just smile and look dead in the eye.
Yeah.
Just pick up your check at the end and be like, thank you.
And are you touring now? Because, you know, you've been doing The Baby and you're writing your new screenplay. Are you fitting in touring in between all that as well?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've been gigging. I was just... supporting Catherine Ryan on her tour, and then my tour starts in 2023, so I think the tickets go on sale at the end of this month.
Oh, amazing. Brilliant. We've got to go and watch.
Yeah, do you do Edinburgh? Have you ever done that?
I've done enough Edinburghs.
That's it.
Mate.
Done.
Do you know what? I do like Edinburgh. It is fun. It's like one giant mufti day. But I'm going to go up just to like, I don't know, for morale.
Right. Yeah,
probably like week three.
Yeah,
exactly. Just be like, don't be sad.
Yes.
Be happy. Comedy's great. You know, tragedy versus time. Comedy. Exactly. Yeah.
I feel like you've done so much, Michelle, in your life. Modeling, acting, stand-up. Weren't you a journalist as well? You used to make films, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything that you still want to do? Is there anything in your brain you're like, I did want to do that. I should do that now.
Do you know what? Actually save my money and buy a house.
Yeah, good one.
Do you know what I mean? Not like celebrate by going into Liberties and just going, I'll have all them bags, thanks. Do you know what I mean? Rolling round Waitrose, just like, oh, we're going to get, oh, go on. Oh, you sliced the watermelon for me. I couldn't possibly do it myself. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, the next thing I want to do, Nick and Ange, is like, buy a house.
Get a house.
Yeah.
So you did the tour with Catherine Ryan.
Yeah.
And you were in The Duchess with Catherine Ryan.
Yeah.
But that was your first acting job.
Yeah.
That's mad.
I know.
Because you were dead good in it.
And you know, thank you. You know probably why it was right? It came just at the right time because I'd just finished Edinburgh Festival and it was a slog. I did the Free Fringe.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be in one room and they went, that room's closed, but don't worry, we've got another venue. And I thought, it's Edinburgh, you've got a castle. There's nothing new here. Where's this new room appearing from?
Yeah.
And they said, it's in a place called The Lockup and it had been used to store cheese. And so it smelt...
No.
Humming.
It smelt like, you know when you take off your Spanx after a long hot wedding? It was bad. So after that, I felt I was a bit low. And I'd had a moment sitting on a coach, right? Because I was doing really well at the time. So I was like sat on a coach looking out the window, just thinking, you're all right, me. She's going to be 40 soon. Do you know what I mean? And then my phone pinged and it was like, will you try out for this audition? And I just like looked up to the sky and I thought, you better. Tried out for it, did a chemistry read. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the lovely Catherine, and got the show.
How was the chemistry read?
We were doing this serious scene and she just kept on laughing. And I was thinking, like, I'm giving it my all. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, especially when you don't know about acting, you're like, she's taking the actual mic. Like, what's going on? And then when we left, she said, because I was the last person to be cast, and she said she was laughing because she was so relieved that they'd finally found the right person to play
fantastic.
Bev. Yeah. So, no, the chemistry read went well. And she's just a great person to shoot with. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Oh, she's so fun.
Mm. You know, you work with some people and they're like, should we do it again? I bet Catherine's like, it's done, let's go.
Oh, my, can
like,
I tell
I bet
you,
she's
she literally
decisive.
Is. And there's sometimes I'd be like, she'd rewrite the lines and I'd go, oh, I don't know. And she'd go, don't worry, we're known by the end of the day because we do so many takes. We're known by then. I was like,
amazing.
The best boss ever.
Yeah, I bet. Well, Michelle, thank you for coming round to eat.
Thank you for having me.
And congrats on everything. Congrats on the baby.
The baby.
Brilliant.
It's mecca.
Yeah. I feel like we've not done anything in our lives. Look how much she's done.
I know, me too. I mean,
it's so weird that you say that, because you know, for me, I'm just like, I'll sort it out, Mish. And now you're like, she's done so much. I'm like,
she's only
good.
Done acting, modelling, stand-up.
Journalism.
That's it, really.
Eating this here meal.
Yeah.
Thank
that's
you.
Highlight.
Yeah, highlight for me. Everything was leading up to this.
This is it, the pinnacle.
Exactly.
Some chickpeas.
Yeah, chickpeas that I thought was corn, because I'm cultured.
Love it.
And Michelle, Thank you so much, Michelle, everybody. That was fun. So, Angela.
So, Nicholas.
I know you like to rave on a weekend. Are you at a rager all weekend?
This weekend coming up, I'm cooking. I'm going down to Lynewood. We're doing one of those smoked and uncut festivals.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm cooking there with my great friend Ed from Brawn. And we've got food from Lee from Black Axe, and Neil's there and Luke. So it's going to be a great weekend, actually.
I loved that weekend.
Yeah.
That was so, so fun.
Yeah, it's such a good festival.
So you do the whole weekend, are you cooking?
It's just a Saturday. So it's just, so it's nice. It's like a mini festival.
Yeah.
There are tickets available if anyone wants to go.
Maybe I could come.
Maybe, yeah.
Do you know what? Last time we came, I took my family and Mish took his family. And it was the first time they met.
Really? Yeah. But it went well.
And you cooked at our first communal family meal.
Are you trying to say it's the next question? So now you need to cook
our
wedding.
So now it makes sense to do the wedding.
Follow Dish from Waitrose wherever you get your podcasts. And why not leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts? Go on, we'd love to hear what you think of us.
Only if you liked it. Don't lie. Have you ever wanted to ask Angela Hartner a food-related question? Well, now you can. You can get some Michelin star advice by emailing dish@waitrose.co.uk.
All the recipes and drinks can be found on the Waitrose website at waitrose.com/dishrecipes.